A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. Looks like we're going to be having a beautiful day today with the weather. Sun is shining somewhat, but either way, it's always good. And so I hope that everyone's weekend went well. I know we had a full weekend. We already started grilling out. So that is the grilling season is upon us. And, actually had some pretty good stuff, you know, on there that was in the flame. And then, of course, Sunday we were able to attend church and we had the Lord's Supper Sunday. So we worshiped together and was a good, overall good weekend, good weekend to watch the Masters and, of course, to see how that turned out in the golf world as Rory McIlroy, I know it's kind of a tongue-tied way of saying his name, but seemed like there was a lot of emotion in that win and was able to see that as well. And so, yeah, it was kind of chilly, though, Saturday. Saturday evening was a little cooler outside and got to have all the family over yesterday for lunch and Saturday evening. So, yeah, good times, and thankful for the opportunity to get together with family. And we even had karaoke night Saturday night, so that was exciting. Got a busy week with work this week, and everything's kind of taking full effect. And so, yeah, we're going to journey on. Tentatively speaking, just also want to mention Thursday, we're going to be having a guest speaker Thursday morning, so look forward to that time as well. I hope that everyone's week begins good, and hope that all is going well thus far in the few hours that we've been engaged in Monday morning. I want to jump back into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 4. It says this: one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. But now then, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For if you will be speaking into the air, there are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks as a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seeks to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving? Thanks, since he does not know what you are saying. For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. Thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and even they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and all an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three in each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. The two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent, for you call all prophecy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in the churches of the saints. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, or is it improper for a woman to speak in the church? Was it from you that the word of God first went forth, or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or a spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. So there's a lot going on there in the Church of Corinth. And you could really sum it up in the fact, as Paul concludes, that things are to be done in an orderly manner. And he also speaks in reference to women being silent in the church, which that also has been magnified to some degree, either misused or misinterpreted, in the reference again of speaking in tongues and prophecy. So again, what has occurred within the church at that time specifically is a lot of disorder and the way in which things should function. So Paul is giving instruction on what is to actually occur within the church and how it's supposed to be done. So as you read through and you kind of see all this back and forth of tongues and prophecy, and then, of course, nowadays we could kind of get sidetracked with some kind of mentality of saying, well, you know, the focus is speaking in tongues. And so much so that, you know, again, we are not limiting the power of God and how he works in people's lives. But Paul is recognizing that even if God does function and allow the Spirit of God to work in one individual to do these things, and therefore there's a way in how that is accomplished. And so there's that detail of whatever it is when he's specifically speaking, not whatever, but specifically speaking, to the function of how this should basically be carried out within the church. That's the importance of, again, the way we see structure and order. A lot of times it can get chaotic within some circles of faith that we would say that probably would be labeled as charismatic. And again, reference of what Paul is stating there in chapter 14 is that there are is the reference that God is not a God of confusion, but of clarity. So we hold true to that, and we hold true to the instruction of God's word and how things are carried out within the church for the gospel to be proclaimed, for the evangelism for the lost, and for the believers to be edified and united under the direction and leadership of God. So as we, you know, look at that chapter, it can kind of seem somewhat confusing to some degree. But if you even kind of dig deeper within also the parameters of what it is signifying from the context of women keeping silent in the church, it's not so much that we are trying to oppress or be over women, but in the way in which back at that time, there was a lot of disruption. And again, at that time, there was a lot of chaos within the church. So functioning in that way, giving the guidance of how things should be ordered, how they should flow, and the leadership, of course, being submissive to God, and then that being an outworking process within the church as well. Just as in our church, we have elders and deacons in the congregation, the body of believers. So therefore, there is a great weight of responsibility upon the elders to live a life that's, as was stated in Timothy, is to live a life above reproach. Not so much that we're a perfect people, but we're striving to seek after the direction and glory of God within our life. And therefore, that is resembled in our everyday actions. And therefore, again, it trickles down. So Paul is saying this is a flow. This is a process in which God has directed us to function within the church. And of course, the beauty of that and how God is not, again, an author of confusion, but a God who brings all people to under his authority in their life. So as we look at that, 1 Corinthians 14, go back, read over it, study it some more, and see the essence and what God is saying in his word. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.